God is so good. Hallelujah. Oh God, you see me so good.
I'm Amen. How many know that God is a good God?
Hey.
Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen. We thank God for what He's doing. And more important than what God is doing, we thank Him for what He is going to do. Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We don't want a quiet church. We're worn out from shoveling and snow blowing and all the rest. Amen. The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so,
whom He has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. For that we say, praise the Lord. Amen. Truly, we just thank the Lord. Tonight, we're going to continue our message on Sunday, but we're going to continue it with a slightly different direction. Amen. We're still dealing in the realm of faith. Amen. Can we say faith?
Faith.
Come on, can we say faith?
Faith.
Amen. The Bible says the worlds were framed by the word of God. We believe that through faith. Amen. Now, faith is not what we see, but faith is what we don't see. Amen. Amen. So let us stand for our scripture reading, which we're going to go back to Mark chapter 11. Our scripture reading is back in Mark chapter 11. We're going to read verses 12 through 15, and then 20 through 26, and then we're going to expound on it more than we did on Sunday. Like I said, on Sundays, we can't really get into teaching as much as we need to. Amen. But the Bible said, in all thy getting, we ought to get an understanding. Amen. So we want God to bless us. We don't want to just hear the word. Amen. We want the word to become a part of us.
Yes.
Amen. We want to live in the word. So we're going to start off with we're going to read verses 12 through 15 in the chapter 11, Mark chapter 11. Then we're going to read verses 20 through 26. Amen. Do we have it?
Amen.
Amen. If you don't have it, it's on the screen. Amen?
Amen.
I was going to say something else, but I ain't going to say it. Let's start. Amen. And on the morrow,
when they will come from Bethany,
he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon.
And when he came to it, he found nothing
but leaves, for the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter
forever.
And his disciples heard it.
And they came
to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. Now let us drop down to verse 20.
And
in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this was not a month later, this wasn't a year later, but it was what?
The
next day in the morning. Amen. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Let's stop there for 1 minute. Amen. When you see something like that take place, you know that it has to be God. They perfectly vibrant. The tree was vibrant because it had what? Leaves on it. Amen. The next day, the tree was completely withered away and dry. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Next verse says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith
in God.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall not
doubt
in his
heart,
and shall not doubt when
in his heart.
Amen. The Bible lets us know that God reads the heart. Amen. Everything about salvation begins
in the heart.
But shall believe that those things which he says. So he don't doubt in the heart, but he believe the things which he what?
Said
shall come to pass. He shall have
what?
Does God place a limitation on that?
No.
Amen. So he said, if you ask and you believe in your heart, those things that you what? Say. A lot of times we ask, but we don't say. He said, those things he should have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire,
when
ye what?
Pray.
So ye desire it, then ye
pray.
Believe that ye receive them, and ye
shall have them.
And when ye stand praying. So he said, if you want it, you gotta do what?
Pray.
Amen. What things you desire, when ye, if you want them, you have to pray. Now he said, when you stand praying. Is this a continuation for acting in faith?
Yes.
Forgive. When you stand praying, you what?
Forgive.
If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you
yours.
May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word and kept the church here. The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Is blessed.
Is blessed.
Already may be seen. Amen. Once again, we're still dealing with the realm of faith. Amen. So let us go back up to verse 14 again. Not 14. What one? It's on 14. Go to 12, sorry. Go to verse 12. Amen. Because we need to really understand the spoken word of faith. Amen. It says, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Amen. And the next verse says that Jesus did what? He said, curse the tree. He says, no fruit grow on you henceforth forever. Amen. So now we're dealing in the realm of what? Faith. Now, like I said, a lot of people have made their own conjecture as to why Jesus cursed the tree. But the answer is very simple. The reason he cursed the tree, over in the Middle East, amen, in Palestine, in Israel, in Egypt, they have what's called, the Bible talks about it in Isaiah, I believe Jeremiah, they call it the early figs. The early figs, when the leaves are on the tree, they are what they call tisk, T-A-K-S-H. They are small cherry-like figs that are present with leaves. Amen. So now Jesus goes to the tree. But let me ask you a question. Didn't the Lord already know that there weren't no figs on the tree?
Yes.
So he's doing this as a teaching moment for who? The disciples. He already knew because he knows everything. Amen. He knew there were no figs on the tree. But he was hungry and he approached the tree. But God, in his knowledge, in his infinite knowledge, knows everything. In his omniscience. God is all knowing. Amen. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. So he comes to the tree. But before the Lord even approached the tree, he already knew that there were no figs on the tree. Amen. But they have what they call tisk, which is small cherry-like figs, and they are a delicacy that is present when the leaves are present. And he said, it seems somewhat contradictory, because he said the time of figs was not yet. When he said the time of figs, he's not talking about the small figs, but he's talking about the mature figs. Amen. So the Lord knew this, but he's using this as a what? Teaching moment for who? The disciples. He don't listen. Come on. Did the Lord know there was no figs on the tree?
Yes.
Amen. So he goes through, and the scripture said, then the Lord, he curses the tree. Go back. He said, and look at this last part of this verse. It says, and what?
The disciples heard.
And the disciples heard it. What is this? This is a teaching moment. Amen. And it's also a learning moment for the church. So the disciples heard him curse the tree. Now let's drop down to verse 20. They heard him curse the tree. Amen. And some people say, well, and then they have all kind of conjectures. Jesus was inconsiderate. He was this, he was that. No, God does everything in our lives for us to learn from it. Amen. Everything is a teaching moment. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dry up from the roots. Now we read it, it said the disciples heard him when he what? Cursed the tree. The next verse says, and Peter does what? Peter says to the Lord, remembering sin, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed. It's like, how? Amen. How did a vibrant, lively tree overnight wither away? Because Jesus spoke it. Because he spoke it. Amen. And remember, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of
our faith.
Amen. So he's using this to teach them a lesson about faith. Now, a lot of times when we go to God, we say, well, God, I know you're going to do it. This is like in 2014, we said, well, he'll do it by 2016. Not when you come with the right faith. Amen. So the next verse says, and this is what we're going to get our message from, and Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. But what this really means is not have faith in God. I'm not going to make up nothing. Y'all don't look for nothing. There ain't going to be a makeup. What this really means is have the faith of God. This doesn't mean have faith. It has the faith of God. What are you saying? Jesus was God. Amen. He cursed the tree as God. Overnight, as God, the tree withered. Amen. So he said, have the faith of God. Let me ask you, when everything began, when Jesus, when God said, let there be light, he did what? Spoken.
That's right.
Every creation day, amen, and we're not going to get into that, but every creation day he did what? He spoke it into existence. Amen. Now when he spoke it, do you think he said, well, let there be light? He said, maybe there will be light, and maybe there won't be light. No, because he's what?
God.
So he said, now if you want to have, and our message is, you got to have God-like faith. Amen. Now, we got all kinds of faiths out here, from faith for this. We talk about God-like faith. In God-like faith, when you speak it, you expect it. When? Right now. The disciples of Peter were shocked because it withered overnight. They said, Lord, you cursed the tree. Look how fast it withered. What did he say? He said, now I'm God. I spoke to the tree. Now what I need you to do in every one of your circumstances is have my faith. We have been programmed and conditioned and preconditioned that we don't see faith like God sees it. God's faith is when you speak, it's going to come to pass. Amen. But there are some prerequisites to you getting what you ask from God. Amen. We can't live any kind of way and go to God. We got to live holy. How can you have God-like faith and live ungodly? The two don't mix. So if you're going to have God-like faith, you must live
godly.
Amen. I read one of the apostolic fathers. He says, it's so important what we condition in our minds. He said, because when you think holy, then you act
holy.
When you think pure, then you act
pure.
When you think righteous, then you act
righteous.
When you think ungodly, then you act
ungodly.
Because you are a product of what's in your mind. As a church, we need to reorient. Amen. You know, every day I pray, I said, Lord, you know, some of the things I've learned, some of the conditions I had in the past, I ask God to forgive me because that's not God.
That's not God.
It's not God. When you're going to approach God, now, I'm going to use an example of somebody here. They didn't know, I asked them for permission.
It's all right.
Do I need to get your permission?
Not at all.
You don't know who you are. Come on, say it. Don't say no. Don't say no. You have nothing to do with it. Amen. But when as I was actually studying the God-like faith, and how that when we do things, a lot of times we ask God for stuff, but we don't really expect God to do it because we don't have the God-like faith. But I recall to remembrance Elder Tinsley's testimony of how God told him to go pray for someone that had actually laid on the ground and had died. And God told him to go and pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I'm sure when Elder Tinsley went to pray for that individual, he didn't go say, well, God, I know you're not going to do it.
Jesus.
Right?
Right,
Elder Tinsley, when you went to pray for him, you expected that God was going to do it. So you went in God-like faith. Irregardless of who around the environment or who was around him, when he approached God expecting that God was going to do what he asked.
Yes.
Amen. And the crowd and everyone were amazed because the person was revived.
Hallelujah.
That is God-like faith.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said the healing was from yesterday. Because God has not changed. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that
believe.
Do we still believe?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. But when he went to pray for him, but you know what I like more than even the healing? He said, well, what's your name? Who are you from? He said, to God
be the glory.
Be the glory. There's a mindset we have to have in approaching God. We can't approach God through unbelief and doubt and expect that God is going to give us what we request. So we're working tonight on conditioning ourselves to have God-like faith. I'm not talking about, I don't care what the bishops are, I don't care what the televangelists are, I'm not talking about that kind of faith. I'm talking about the faith of God. When you believe something, you speak it, and then in speaking it, you expect that it's going to come to pass.
Right.
The latter part of this goes on to say, so have faith in God means have the faith
of God.
Can we say the faith of God?
Faith of God.
Do you have the faith of God?
Jesus.
Now the faith of God spoke the world into existence. Amen. And we're going to go over some more illustrations, examples of how God's faith, even the laws of nature, have to back up and take a back seat when you're dealing with faith. He says, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, but the condition of the element that has to exist with faith is what? And shall not doubt. God-like faith will never doubt. If it didn't happen right now, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen a little later today, it's going to happen. God-like faith does not doubt. Now my question tonight, if you have God-like faith, those particulars. Now, we ain't talking about for God to give you $1 million. That ain't important. We talk about for soul salvation.
Yes.
Amen. For God to be pleased, for you to be well pleased in His sight. Have you asked God to do something spiritually for you? Have you asked God to cleanse you of some errors, some faults? Amen. But did you really believe God was going to do it? Amen. And remember, I told you, every time God does something, He uses it as a teaching moment because He already knows the end result. So every time the Lord did something, He already knew what the end result was. So why did He do it? So that they would learn to think like God. Everything that God permits to happen in our life, He's training us. He's teaching us to think like God. Amen.
Yes.
And doubt not where? In his heart. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. But shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have
whatsoever he saith.
Is that a limit on that?
No.
If you go to God with the right faith, in the right way, you shall have whatsoever. Now, there's some things we've been praying about. What has stopped our whatsoever? It certainly is not God, because the Bible said he changes not. So if God changes not, and we've been praying and haven't got the desired results, where is the fault at? We're working tonight on what kind of faith? God-like faith. Amen. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire,
when ye pray.
Not when you tell everybody else about it. But when ye
pray.
Prayer is a spoken word. Amen. Believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall. Now this is all talking about faith. Mountain moving faith, right? Now he said, I've been praying for so long for this. Now, the next verse is the precondition to faith becoming a reality. The next verse is the precondition to God-like faith becoming a reality. How many know that God holds no grudges? Does God hold a grudge?
No, sir.
Is God forgiven?
Yes.
The Bible said, why were we yet sinners? He what? Died for us. So God is all in all, and he does whatever it is to our benefit. How can we go to God with God-like faith but have an ungodly character? Amen? Yeah. I'm going to God for something, but I'm going for bad attitude. Man at this one, man at that one, man at the whole world. But I believe God's going to do it. Absolutely not.
Amen.
If you're going to go like God, you got to act also like God. So he said, now you're going to pray. It's something that you desire. He said, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. He said, now wait a minute. Before you pray, can we say, wait a minute?
Amen.
We've been praying for a whole lot. Wait 1 minute. Before you pray, he says this. And when you stand praying, forgive. Now, like I said, I do a lot of research because I'd like to see how a lot of our apostolic fathers got to the place with the mindset that they had. Amen. And I've read illustration after illustration. People seeking the Holy Ghost, and people seeking healing, God expecting God to do something. But the number one hindrance outside of doubt that has stymied, held back, and crippled so many well-meaning saints of God is unforgiveness.
Jesus.
He said, now you want God-like faith? If you want God-like faith, you gotta also act like God.
That's right.
God doesn't hold grudges. God doesn't remember what you did last week. But then we go to God in prayer, and every time we turn around, we talk to somebody about what they did then, and this, and that, and the other. Come on. He said, if you want it, you have to first do what? Forgive.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I have to check myself out. You know, I read this, and then that might have had an awful dream. My wife said I had an awful dream every day. I had an awful dream. And in my dream, I kept saying, Lord, I got to forgive him. And I woke up praying. You know what? Because I said, it's a whole lot of stuff when you look back. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I was so glad, even in my dream, I didn't act like a normal act. Because I'm trying to condition myself to be more like God.
More like God.
And I'm going to tell you, in my dream, I was fired up mad. If I was so mad, if they could have took my mad demeanor, it probably would have ran off the chart. Yes, it would. I believe in my dream. Thank God. And I just read all this about going to God and wanting something. I said, I woke up saying, yes, Lord, I did forgive. This is a dream. This ain't even real. But you know what? When you go to God for something, God puts you to the test right away to see what's in you. A lot of us have been asking God for something.
Yes.
But we're trying to get something for God over unforgiveness. Now, one of the apostolic fathers said he had a person that was in the service. He had been praying and crying for the Holy Ghost. Over and over trying to get the Holy Ghost. Couldn't get the Holy Ghost. And tears and weeping. And he heard the pastor preach on forgiveness. He said, Pastor, don't tarry with me right now. I got to go take care of something first. So the gentleman went home, and he had woken. Now, he was saved. How many know everybody's saved? Sometimes they get into some weakness. his brother-in-law had offended him. And he wrote an ugly letter. My wife said, if you brought an ugly letter, what kind of fruit are you?
Ugly fruit.
Ugly fruit. Amen. It's an ugly fruit. It's supposed to be good, but not in church. It might taste all right, but you're not supposed to be ugly. Amen. So he wrote an ungodly, ugly letter. When the pastor preached on forgiveness and how that holds people back, and the person immediately knew his problem. So he went home, he told his wife, he said, you know, that ungodly letter I wrote, he said, I got to write it. She said, oh, you're crazy. What are you writing that for? He said, I can't talk to you. He said, this is between me and God. There's some situations that people ain't going to tell you right. But when it's between you and God, you got to get it right.
Yes, sir.
He said,
yes.
Oh, he told us that. I don't care what you say. He said, I don't care. All he did, I know you're wrong. He said, but I did wrong. He wrote the letter with the church, and the Holy Ghost fell on him when he walked in the door.
Glory to God.
You got to approach God the what?
Right way.
Right way.
Right way.
You cannot have God by faith and go to God the wrong way. So he said, if you want to walk, if you want something for me, he said, when you stand praying, forgive.
Forgive.
If ye have all against me. Yes, you're doing a lot of stuff. But everything that God allows happening in our lives are what? Teaching moments. Amen. And we're going to read every time the Lord gives us a principle. Listen, every time the Lord gave the disciples, his followers, a spiritual principle, he also put them to the test so that they would have the application. So every time God teaches us, the test comes to see have we really learned. Amen. So he said, if they have all this in it, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. How many know we all are full of faults and failures? If we work on our faults and failures every day of the month for 12 months, guess what? You don't have time to worry about nobody else. If we work on our faults and failures every day of the month for 12 months, you don't have any time to worry about anybody else. Now, there's some of y'all got some 13-month years. Amen? But we got to concentrate on what we need from God. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. We're dealing with God and his applications. Amen. Principles and applications. So we're working, we're dealing tonight with God like faith. The number one prerequisite to going to God is you have to be forgiven. No matter who it is or what they've done, amen. You know, some time ago, after my prayer for somebody, they went back almost 30 years about something. Mm-hmm. How are you going to be saved? You're going back 30 years. How are you going to be saved if you go back 2 years? Because if you're going back and holding on to it and still dealing and struggling with it, then you have not forgiven. But then you want God to help you. And then when you mess up, you say, well, I want you to forgive me. Amen. Just think of the times we ask somebody for forgiveness and they acted ugly and didn't forgive us. He said, aren't you supposed to be saved?
Jesus.
Amen. How many remember Ministry of the Mirror? Amen. Ministry of the Mirror, a lot of us say what we don't do. Hmm. We need to apply the Word of God in our lives.
Right.
Amen. To have God-like faith, to have the desired results through faith, you have to do it the right way. Amen. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 23. We're going to read verses 23 through 24, and then we're going to drop down to 30 through 41. Now, once again, when God teaches a principle, he allows a test to come for us to actually have the application. All right? So verse 23 of Mark 4 says, if any man have ears,
let him hear.
In church, the most important thing we need to do is we need to hear. Because the word of God will never return unto him void. When the word comes forth, we need to hear. Amen. It says, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Not what somebody else has said, but in church, take heed what you hear. Heed means you got to give careful scrutiny and attention to what you hear. If any man have ears, you hear. And then even I believe it's in Revelation, they have ears, hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So Jesus is teaching them a principle now, okay? So he drops down a little further. He said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be given to you, and to you that hear, he shall check to unto you that hear shall more be given. This is a part of you sowing and reaping. He said, now when you hear in church, the amount of application that you put forth in what you hear, the measure that you send out is what's going to come back to you. Amen. So you can't come to church and hear the whole truth, and then you dissect the truth. Said, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't think this is for me, and I don't think. Said, what, take heed to what you hear. Then they take heed to what you hear. Now, as you put that into application, whatever you put into application, if you only put 50% in application, then you only get 50% back, because that's how God works. God's divine law of sowing and reaping will not be altered for anyone. Did not Paul say, if you sow sparingly, you what? Even though he's talking about giving, it's in not just financial giving, it's also in giving of ourselves. So he's teaching them a principle. When you hear, you need to take heed to it. Now we're talking about God by faith. Let's take heed to it. All right, then let's drop down to verse 30. All right, verse 30 of the same chapter. And he said to them, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? And he's already told them to hear, right? And to take heed to what they hear. What shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is, a lot of us have heard, had the seed, but we have not yet sown it. The word of God is a seed. But some of us have not yet sown it. Now what he said, if you take the smallest portion of the seed, if you take the smallest portion and you plant it, and you plant it in the right ground, because some fell by the wayside, some fell among stones, some sprung up among thorns and it was choked, amen, but one fell on the ground. If you hear the word of God and you sow it in good ground, what is the ground? Your heart. That small seed will flourish. Amen. So he said, a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be sown. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh, can we say greater?
Greater.
If you plant, listen, God is no respecter of person. If you plant the smallest portion of God, see, I don't understand it all. God didn't ask you to understand it. He said, just sow it.
Amen.
Just apply it. So, can you sow seed without doing something?
No.
And somebody said, well, I'm going to think about it. We read Proverbs, right? I know this is. Most of us for this month be on the 14th chapter of Proverbs. Thank you, Jesus. But Proverbs deal a lot with tilling the ground and sowing and reaping. He says, a sluggard, he's so lazy he won't even go put a seed in the ground. But expect to get something. We don't want to be like that. The seed that we sow, you can't think so. You got to do what? Sow it.
Sow it.
It could be small. But when you plant it with faith and trust in God, it will flourish. Amen? Verse 30 said, but when it is sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all the earth, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowl of the air lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. Verse 35. It said, now he did all this teaching, and then what? What did the what? Come on, y'all. I know I say this, it's like, we've been sowing and plowing and snowblowing, amen. But it's still the what day?
Same day.
God teaches a principle, right? And then he turns around and put forth the application, amen. So the same day, when evil was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were
also,
you know, it's always good to pay attention to when he says and. Amen. When God says and, the focus might be on Jesus, but there were some others with him, amen. And there arose, and he had just told them about sowing and reaping and giving heed to what they heard. Amen. Said now the same day. Sometimes we leave out of church and we're shocked at what we confront. The what?
Same day.
Because God wants to know, did you really take heed to what you heard? Are you really sowing that seed that you heard? So God don't wait a month. He does it the what?
Same day.
Then we go home and we all messed up. God says, you know why you messed up? Because you didn't take heed.
That's right.
You did not give ear to what you said. You get all stymied and messed up and flabbergasted, almost want to turn your back on God. God said, you didn't take heed. Because if you took heed, you would know that the test was going to come. Amen. Because with everything that we have a test. Amen. And there was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat to the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep.
On a pillow.
We need to be like Jesus. How many can have some peace in this storm?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on. How many can have some peace in your storms? Amen. When you have God like faith, nothing troubles you, because our confidence is in God. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said, God. Now this is, I'm trying to figure out what the mother, remember there were other ships with him? Amen. What were they doing? Right? Now the disciples all messed up. We don't hear nothing about what happened in the motherships. Because God is using this as a teaching moment. For who? The disciples. Peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a
great calm.
When God gets involved, every one of your great storms will produce an equal deliverance. So the storm was great, so the calm was. When God is involved, it was a great storm. So God didn't send a normal calm. He sent a what?
Great calm.
Because the deliverance is a commensurate and measure to what you are going through if you have the right faith.
Amen.
We're talking about who spoke this? God. Now he's telling you God like faith. And we read, when he cursed the fig tree, it happened when?
Overnight.
Now he speaks to the wind. He speaks to the sea. He's pairing or giving them an example of what God-like faith can do. He said it was a great storm. Now, if God-like faith spoke to the wind, then it spoke to the sea. And because he spoke, it was a what? How long did it take? It happened when? But then he deals with, he said, now, I told you to give heed to what you heard. Now, the next verse tells the reason they were so troubled. Amen. How many churches? That's so troubled. The Father's not in God. And he said to them, why are ye How is it that you have?
No faith.
How is it that you have what?
No faith.
No faith. Why are ye so fearful? I spent from beginning of part one telling you about the kingdom of God and sowing and reaping and giving heed. Did you hear what I said?
Have mercy.
God said, you know what? This is Jesus. He said, you know what? You didn't take heed. Because if you took heed, you wouldn't have been so fearful. And besides the fear, he said, what about your faith? Didn't God, he said, all you have to have is faith and size of a what kind of seed? He didn't say you have, he said, you don't have no faith in the next verse. And that this is them. God performed so many miracles. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner? What manner? A man is this.
Thank you, Jesus.
That even the wind and the sea obey him. We're talking about God. You cannot just come to God any kind of way. God teaches principle. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I'm not gonna read all of Matthew 17. Because we all know this is when Jesus goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he's transfigured before Peter, I think Peter, James, and John. And then, something about saints. It's hard to believe that they could be in such a glorious spiritual place and be asleep. And then when they awake, they saw Jesus, Moses, Elijah. And they said, oh, Peter, the spokesman, said, we're going to build three tabernacles, one for each one of you. The Bible said, there came a voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear
him.
Hear him. The Old Testament is gone. We're into a new testament. We're into a new time, a new dispensation. He said, hear them. So he does all of this. And then they leave for the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus immediately puts them to the test. Amen. So we're going to go to Matthew 17 and verse 14. 17 and 14. Now we're dealing tonight with what kind of faith? God-like faith. Amen. In order to have God-like faith, you got to act like you cannot have God-like faith and not be like God. Amen? Verse 14 says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. They cannot cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, this faith just means unbelieving. He said, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. How long do you think I'm going to be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And the Bible says, now Jesus did what? Rebuked. When he rebuked the devil, he did what? Spoke to him. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured. God-like faith, when Jesus speaks, it's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. God does it right then, with all of the preconditions and conditions of men. So when the child was healed, the what? Very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said,
why could we not pass?
Yeah, how many of us asked God, how come? Why, Lord?
Hallelujah.
God, I just thought you could do it. Why couldn't we do it? We watched you. We did just what you did. Because in order to have God-like faith, you also have a God-like character. Amen. And the number one thing that hinders faith is unbelief and doubt. You can't go to God any kind of way. He that cometh to God, what?
Must believe.
Stop right there. We need to go any further.
Believe.
Do you believe when you come to God? Or do you doubt? God-like faith will never doubt. Because God-like faith means we're like God. He spoke and it happened. He spoke to the wind and the sea and it happened. He spoke to the demon and it happened. Amen. God-like faith. When Jesus, if you read about it in John chapter 5, when the important man was there waiting for the water to be troubled, and Jesus came by, the Bible said there was a great multitude that was waiting for the water to be what? Troubled. I wonder if all those people there, how come only one man got healed? Amen? Because obviously he met the conditions for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus spoke to him and said, take up thy bed and walk. But how many of you know there was a great multitude? Means that's a lot of people. It only takes your faith. Don't look around at the multitude.
Amen.
Don't look at everybody else. What's in you? Only one was healed. When they caught the woman in adultery, only she was saved. And all of those others that were so righteous, they didn't get saved. There's a condition that has to be met for God to bless us.
Yes.
Amen. And you have to meet the condition. So it says, and Jesus says, because of your
unbelief.
The reason a lot of us aren't getting it is because we still have
unbelief.
Even though we've seen, even though we heard. For verily I say unto you, once again, if you have faith as a what? He said, you don't need to have a lot of faith. Just need a what?
A little bit.
A great little mustard seed. Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it
shall remove.
And nothing shall be impossible if you what? Believe. Can we say nothing?
Nothing.
It shall be impossible if you believe and if you meet the conditions. We can't just go with God by faith. If they said, okay, God, I need you to have a whole lot of faith to know just the size of a mustard seed. God responds to whatever faith you have. Amen. Somebody said, I want to have the faith like this. No, you want to have the faith that God needs for your circumstances.
Right.
You don't need anybody else's faith. You need God to give you the faith for what you need to overcome.
Hallelujah.
And it only has to be a little bit. Amen. I don't want to go through everything, but let's see. Because I don't want to keep y'all here all night. But first, let's go to the next verse. It says, how be it this kind goeth not out but by
prayer
and fasting. He said, you got to get desperate with God.
Prayer and fasting.
You got to get desperate.
Hallelujah.
This kind goeth not out but by
prayer and fasting.
All we need is a little faith. Then mix prayer and fasting. And let's see what God can do. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. I got a couple more minutes. Matthew chapter 13. Now we're dealing with God-like faith and trying to get God to be involved with our circumstances. Amen. We want God more than anything. Lord, I don't need the faith of anybody else. I just need the faith for what you need to do in our lives and in my life. Okay, he talks about the tares and the wheat. Let me see, I want to drop down. I don't want to read everything. Let's go to verse. Now the Lord is teaching and instructing. Let's go to verse 73 of Matthew 13. And then we're just going to go to one other verse after this. All right, one other verse. Now, the one thing that he said to his disciples, he said, because of your
unbelief.
Amen. He said, faithless unbelief. When we go to God, we cannot go through our belief and doubt, but we have to believe. The first 53 reads, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come unto his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, and so much that they were, this is serious teaching, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these he was doing some what? Mighty works. Then, you know, how people say, God's blessing you, doing all this. And they say, hey, he ain't nobody. She ain't nobody. Amen. This man is, how can he do this when he ain't nobody or nothing? What's his background? What school did you go to? What seminary did you graduate from? You don't need the seminary, you just need God.
Amen.
But the seminary can help if you need it. Amen. But if you didn't go, when Peter and John healed the lame man, they said, wow. They had to be with Jesus because they were what?
Ignorant.
And unlearned. They had not been taught. Amen. But they took knowledge that they had been with Christ because it took Christ and his power to heal a lame man. Amen. So he says, verse 56 says, and his sisters, are they not with all of us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were, now isn't that kind of hard to understand? This is how human nature is. He's done mighty works, he's teaching them, and they were astonished at his teaching. But because he didn't have the DD and all the rest of that behind his name, they were offended. Because he shouldn't have been able to do what he was doing. Amen. That's how people are. Thank God we don't have to qualify ourselves for people. We just got to be right with God.
That's right. Amen.
Once then asked this man, they said they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save his own country, and it is. And he did not many mighty works there because of what? All of he was doing mighty works, but he couldn't do many there because they did not believe. In order for God to bless you, you have to believe. Let's go to John chapter 20. We're dealing with God-like faith. The number one challenge or hindrance to God-like faith is what? Unbelief and doubt. Unbelief and doubt are the number one challenges to God moving and performing miracles. Let's go to verse 24. Verse 24. Amen. How many want God to do something special?
Amen.
Amen.
Every day we should ask God to do something special. Amen. The song said every day with Jesus is supposed to be what?
Sweeter.
Now, you knowing God though in your heart, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that every day is getting sweeter? Amen. If you've been saved for that period of time, is it getting sweeter? Or is it getting more bitter? Amen. God knows and you know. As good as he's been to us, it should be sweeter. Amen. When you watch the news, you watch all these catastrophes and everything happening, it's getting sweeter. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So verse 24 says, but Thomas, and he was what? One of the 12. He was with Jesus. He saw, he heard, he knew. Amen. This is after Jesus was crucified, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. I would go into that, but we're not here for the theological part of this, and we keep moving. But he said unto them, except I see, and this is unfortunately the mindset of the church. We're supposed to believe, then see. But the church wants to see, then believe. He said, except I see the seed in his hand, the prints of nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He bold with it. Amen. But how many in the church like that? God, I'll believe if you show me this. You're supposed to believe in any of show you. Stop asking for the signs and just have faith and believe that God's going to do what he says. Amen. So he said, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, this disciple were with them and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being, God will be a door. You can leave it shut. He will come wherever you are, even if the door is shut. Said the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then the only person that did not yet believe was who?
Thomas.
Now, why was it important for Thomas to believe? Because he wanted them to tarry in Jerusalem until he got the promise from on high, which was the what?
Holy Ghost.
But he could not send the Holy Ghost unless they were all in one mind and they all had to believe. So before he could even send the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had to get Thomas to do what?
Believe.
Amen? So he says, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but what?
Believe me.
And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet blessed are they that what? Have not seen and yet believe. Amen. It's so important that we as a church in our individual lives that we get it right. Amen. Thomas believed because he saw. How many of us really need to see tonight to believe?
Amen.
Now we all hear the same word. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and we'll finish here, verse 2. We all hear the same word. Amen. But we're going to find out how can we all hear the word and with some is some of us it blesses and we prosper in it. And others, we do not prosper in it. The fault is not in God, but the fault is in us. Amen. So Hebrews 4 and verse 2. Do we have it? Let us read. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But, when you see but, that means there's a problem. Amen. The gospel was preached to who? And we all have heard. Amen. But for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. But the word preached did not. They all heard the same word. But some it did not profit. Why? Not being mixed with faith. And them that heard it. We want God-like faith.
Yes.
To have God-like faith, we must be believed.
Amen.
He could not do many works in his own country because of their
unbelief.
The disciples could not heal the lunatic's arm because of their
unbelief.
The disciples were fearful and afraid because of
unbelief.
And doubt. It will not let us stand. It was there, but it's gone. We get it some other time.
Amen.
Our belief and doubt will not give us the desired results of faith. Tonight is so important that we be not faithless, but believing. Amen. And then believing, it's impossible to believe God and not act in accordance to the word of God. If you believe God, then we should do everything he says. And James said, if we keep all points of the law, yet we offend in
one point.
And what point? How many points?
One point.
I've done this, I've done that. Is there one thing that you're offended in? He said, if you don't keep one aspect of the law, then you're guilty
of all.
Of all. Tonight, God-like faith has a God-like character. And a God-like character, as the elders, the altar team, and the ministers come forward, God-like character will give you the desired results. God won't bless if you're not right. So you want a blessing? You want God to do something for you? Do it right. Amen. Like I said, two hindrances to God giving you what you want. Unforgiveness and unbelief. Unforgiveness and unbelief. Somebody said, well, I'm forgiven. Well, when you see that person, why does your whole countenance change? Amen. Unforgiveness, you're supposed to be like the other green tree.
Yes.
Nothing should change you. But when you're in debt, there's something about that. Yeah, the problem is not there because they don't have a problem. Amen.
Amen.
They're all right. You're the one that's messed up. But I'm forgiven. This is the other thing the church said. I'm forgiven, but I want to keep them as far away from you as we can. God said, well, you know what? Your blessing is delayed.
All right.
Your blessing is delayed. Because I can't bless you because you're not like me.
Hallelujah.
God won't bless you if you're acting unjustly. Amen. Well, he just don't know on this one. God knows everything.
Amen.
You just take care of what you got to do. Amen. The Bible says in the end, when we ought to all give an account, nobody will have to give an account for brother, sister, and all the rest of them that messed up. When you come appear before God, it's between you and the Savior.
Yes.
So can we throw the crutches away? Throw the excuses away? You won't go to heaven on anybody else's coattails, and nobody won't go to heaven on your coattail. It's an individual salvation. Amen. So tonight, let's do what it takes for us to be right. Not just right in church, but we got to be right once we leave church. Amen. God-like faith has a God-like character. So when we get home tonight, we don't need to check somebody else's character out. Amen. Jesus said, how do you behold the beam of the boat? One of them, I didn't know. How do you see that big beam? No, how do you see that? You know what? How do you see? Well, let's do it this way.
How do you see
that little thing in somebody else's eye? You can't see that. Yeah, they had a cartoon, this guy had this big beam sticking to his head. And was complaining about a little thing in somebody else's. That's us. We can see the boat in somebody else's side, but we can't see the big beam in ours. Isn't it time for us to be saved?
Yes.
Salvation is an individual thing. Being right with God is an individual. You can't blame it on anybody else when you fall short. We sing the song, is it well with your soul? Tonight I want to be saved. I want God to be pleased. So it's important that I do things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen.